Welcome to another episode of Raising Playful Tots. The podcast for moms making the most of playtime. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly internet radio show and podcast where parents can share, learn, and laugh together about natural play ideas to engage their little tots aged between birth and five. So, let's join our host, Melissa Avila, for this week's show.
Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 22. Today is April the 22nd, which is Earth Day, and it's celebrating its 40th anniversary. Can you imagine 40 years of celebrating Earth Day? Happy Earth Day! So do you celebrate Earth Day? What are you doing? Do you have any plans? Today's show is dedicated to Earth Day and projects in general. I'll be right back after this short break.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I like projects. Hands up, who else likes projects? I just like the length of time that you get to do things. You can do things over. You can repeat things that work and throw away things that don't. The kids get a time to imagine and really develop their own ideas. There's something about doing a project that I really like. I like short activities too, where there is a beginning and an end and you get a product at the end of it. But I also like the ones where the kids can really roll with it and make it their own. And while there is a guideline for how to complete the project, they're free to make the project their own. And so with Earth Day coming up, I was trying to think of a project that we could do together, and funnily enough, since Earth Day is in the middle of Screen Free Week, it just seemed perfect because we needed to find activities that we could do to substitute the screen time that we would usually have, and we needed to do an Earth Day project. So I figured, well, instead of just doing one Earth Day project today, we could do a project that lasted the whole week. So we started a project on Friday as part of our family night. I've talked about family night before, and I suggested a game back in one of the earlier episodes, Caribou, that we love to do. And this time we decided to do a project where all of us could be involved, even the little one. And you can find that project over on the blog today. It's called Earth Day Family Project, and it truly was. It started off with, I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, I'm going to see if you can guess. It started off with plain pieces of paper, scrap paper that we had found, and tissue paper, and we started tearing them up into tiny little strips and putting them into a bowl. And we had maybe 8 or 9 sheets of paper of different sizes and different shapes, and you can see the pictures over there at the blog. Do you know how interesting it is to sit with your children and tear newspaper? It's so much fun because they aren't really thinking about anything. So anything comes to mind and we have the most bizarre and interesting conversations. So there we were sitting around listening to music, tearing this paper up into tiny, tiny little pieces. I mean, like 1 centimeter or so. So that was quite funny, getting them to re-tear pieces that's too big and getting the right size. And so that took quite a long time. So we were jamming to There Might Be Giants, Science Is Real, all the way through. And then we went on to Putumayo's Caribbean songs. So you can tell that we were there for a little while tearing up these pieces of paper. Apart from singing, the conversations were great. Now, the big problem with tearing up tiny little pieces of paper and putting them into a bowl when you have a toddler is it looks like fun to tip over the bowl. So, of course, quite a few times we had rain, lots and lots of paper rain. Well, we'd be too busy jamming to the song and tearing paper, and the little one would come over and flip the bowl over, and all the paper would fly up into the air. After like the third or fourth time that that happened, we started to get a bit cross about the whole thing. But he absolutely loved it, and it was fun. Although picking up all of those tiny pieces of paper was something else. He did help, so that was good. But I think he just loved the feeling of all that paper falling all over him. So it really truly was a family activity that we were doing. Anyway, have you guessed what we're trying to make yet? Well, we're trying to make seeded paper, and we did, and it was so much fun. Why seeded paper? Well, I like the idea of having a piece of paper that had seeds within it that we could plant in the garden, and the paper would biodegrade and disintegrate, and the seeds would remain, and they would grow into lovely flowers. I'd seen this before, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. We bought some for our nephew and niece, because they wanted to go out and do something in the garden, and they spent a lot of time with their grandparents. And I thought, well, I needed an easy activity that they could do outside. And I found these amazing circular, I don't know what you call them, circular infused with seed pieces of paper. And it had all of the things on there to make an Italian garden, and it said. And it was pretty apt. We were living in Italy at the time, so I figured, wow, why not? And in it, they had lettuce seeds, and they had something to do with tomatoes and something to do with basil, and what was the other thing? I think it was parsley was the other one. And you bought it, and it was this big old circle that you buried into the ground, and that was it. You watered it in the sun and it would grow, and it did. And it was so nice to hear my niece if you talk about the food that they'd harvested and what they'd eaten. I don't know how big it was or how tasty, but it was. They were so proud that they had something that they could grow for themselves. Their grandparents were very excited to tell me about how they used to keep running out to see if anything had happened and if anything had grown. And that idea had been planted, no pun intended, in my mind. I wanted to do something like that with my children. I've been thinking about it for a while. Anyway, I decided that this time for Earth Day and with screen time, and we had all this time that we had, that actually making seeded paper doesn't actually take long. The longest time is the drying period. And while it takes a longish time, I think we took about 5 days, the actual time and effort that you do isn't that much. So there we are. We've torn all the paper up into tiny little pieces. You soak it in warm water and let it stand for about 24 hours. The paper has to be really wet. And so 24 hours later, which was perfect for us, it was in the evening time, we scooped it all out with a little of the water and a little of the paper, and we dumped it inside of a blender or a food processor would mind, anything that will pulp the paper up anymore. And we blended and we blended and we blended, and we drained whatever we blended into a pulp, we poured into a colander so that any more water could drain out. Once we'd finished that, we put a glass bowl inside of the colander to push on the wet pulp to squeeze out more of the water that we could. That was just perfect. The boys just thought that that was the greatest thing, being the strongest man who could push the most water out. So that was good fun. Although some of the pulp paper did go through some of the holes because we used a colander. Maybe a sieve would have been better for that. But, we used a colander and it worked well for us. Then we poured that pulped paper back into the bowl and added the seeds. And we bought some seeds called a 4 o'clock mix, which are supposed to open at 4 o'clock and smell very nice. And we bought some marigolds. Now the 4 o'clocks were round seeds and the marigolds were flat. So I really would encourage getting the flat seeds because obviously they will lie better in paper than the round seeds, which we found out, but it still worked out. So once we added the seeds to the paper, we then had to find a way of making this blobby, pulpy mess flat. Well, there's lots of presses that you can buy, paper presses, but they're expensive. And, you know, we're all about everyday activities that you can do at home. So we set about doing a homemade paper press. Have you ever made a homemade paper press? Really easy. We made like a sandwich. That's how I explained it to the boys, where we had to have protect the surface. So we used a bin bag, a plastic bin bag that we found at home. We just cut one of the really big ones in half and put that on the table. Now, we live in a desert climate, so I'm like, let's do this outside. It will dry faster, I felt, and I wouldn't have to worry about little hands trying to have a look at what's going on. I just thought it would be better to be outside. So we had the bin bag on the patio table, and then we put a tea towel on top of that. And then on top of the tea towel, we put the big, mushy, pulpy paper that was now covered in seeds. Then using the back of the spoon, the boys and I smooshed down the paper pulp until it was on a nice, flat surface. Now, it was pretty raised in places, like I said, because of the seeds were round in places and some of them were flat. And we just tried to push it down as much as possible and make it as flat as possible. And, you know, we couldn't resist. We were touching it and poking it and, you know, moving it around. And what child doesn't like playing with gloopy, wet stuff? So I had the spoon for me to shape the paper, the pulpy paper, but really the boys just use their fingers and they like to push down on the paper and see where all the paper was going. And so it was interesting talking to them about what's going to happen next, because they've never seen seeded paper and I hadn't showed them. I just told them the concept, like, I really want to do this and I think it'll be really fun. And they're like, yeah, sure, we want to do it too. But they were, no, there's no way that those seeds are going to stay in there. I think they thought that the seeds would just kind of pop up somehow, that they would rise to the surface, or I don't know, maybe the paper would dry and the seeds wouldn't be in it. I guess because they're so used to seeing paper that looks like paper, that I don't think they've ever seen recycled paper to see how bumpy and different it looks. So this mushy, pulpy stuff that they had right in front of them, and this plain sheet of paper that they write on and draw on, they just couldn't see. Nah, that's not, how's it going to be like that? Well, of course, it's not going to be exactly like that. So it was really interesting, their predictions. Anyway, after you've made it nice and flat, you then continue your sandwich backwards. So now you put another tea towel on top that will help wick away the moisture and dry it out. And then you put the other half of the bin bag on top of the tea towel. This way, the water that is coming out doesn't go underneath to the table. Now, we're on the patio table, so that was okay. And it doesn't go up, because what you're going to put on top is the most important thing. You need heavy, heavy weights. So I sent the boys inside and said, find the biggest, heaviest books that you can find. So they went straight to their bookshelves and came back with paperback books. So I sent them back in and said, no, we need much thicker books than that. So they raided our shelves, and my husband's going through college, so he has a lot of college books at the moment that are, you know, 4 or 5 inches thick. And so they struggled with those downstairs, and we found some fairy tale books and other books that were pretty big and pretty heavy. We placed them on top of the sandwiched, layered paper press, homemade paper press. So at the bottom we had a bin bag, then we had a tea towel, then we had the paper mush that we'd flattened, and then we had a tea towel, and then another bin bag, and now we had 5 or 6 gigantic books on top. I added a few large stones that I found in the garden, part of the border, but we can use those, and put those on top as well. So it was weighted down, and we waited. Okay, it's hard for kids to wait for a project to finish. They were like, is it done already? And that was 10 minutes later. So I had to explain to them that the paper had to dry out. And so the best way for them to see that the paper was drying out was for them to look at it when they came home from school or in the morning, before they went to school. We had a lot of sneaky peeks to see what was going on. I also took all of it off at some point. I think I did it once, and let the sun be directly onto it. It was in a nice sunny place already, but I wanted to make sure that it dried Also, I changed the tea towel, the top tea towel, once, because I figured, well, it's wet, and I understand the theory of it drying out, but I thought if I take a new tea towel, it would help everything along. If I put a new tea towel in there, and I flipped over the bin bag, turned it inside out, so that that would dry as well. It took 3 days to dry outside. So 4 days later, we had seeded paper, and oh my goodness, the boys were excited when I peeled away. Because you could, it was like a show. You took everything off slowly, and although we'd been sneaking a peek, it was only at little corners, and so now was the big reveal. Ta-da! And so you could peel all the paper off, and you could see it, and they were just shocked. And I took a little time, and I peeled the whole sheet, the whole seeded paper off the towel. And so you could hold it like a piece of paper. Awe and wonder. We had silence for a little while as the kids just looked at this paper and like, wow. Because they were there. They did the whole project. They saw, they knew, they put the seeds in. And now they could see these seeds inside of the paper. It was great. It was great to see their little reactions of what it was. And so we decided then that, well, we can't just keep this to ourselves. Not only is it a big piece of paper, it was like A4 size, you know, the normal size that you would put into a printer. It was a pretty big piece. Even though, yes, we'd used 6 to 7 pieces of paper, we now had this one sheet, roughly rectangular. It wasn't completely. So we cut a piece off, and the boys decided that they wanted to take in a piece for each of their teachers. So we made a little sign that said, "Bury me, it's Earth Day. Happy Earth Day, April 22, 2010. And the boys put it into a little baggie. I was trying to convince them that they could just stick it onto the card that it was already there and staple it and it would be fine. But they were worried that they would lose it or it would break or the pieces would fall off. So I'm like, fair enough. So they got a little sandwich bag and put it inside, and we stapled it all together. Their project, I didn't mind, and show them what they've been doing for Earth Day. So, of course, now when we come home, we have the task of burying ours. So we'll be cutting another little piece of ours and burying it in a pot and seeing if we can grow some flowers. And wouldn't that be amazing if we actually get some flowers at the end of it? Because the thing about projects like this is that it was a great project for all the learning that went on, all the collaboration. They had to work together. We had to pick up all those pieces of paper at the beginning. We had to coordinate the pouring and the scooping. And that was a system in and of itself. One, the oldest, the big guy, poured the water into the blender. And then the middle one took the container and dumped it into the colander and pressed the water out. Everybody had their role. They got to swap over and change and do different things. They improvised. They didn't know what to do. They were like, well, let's just try it like this. So many skills that they were learning and so many things that the end product was great. But it didn't seem to matter to them that they had to plant or do anything with the seeded paper. They just enjoyed that whole process. That whole time that we spent together, the looking, the anticipation, the working out what happens next. So now I have to convince them that tonight perhaps we should actually plant the seeded paper and see if it will actually grow. That's our aim, to see if it'll actually grow. What's nice is that it's flat, and the boys have already been talking about what they can do with this piece of paper, because we have quite a lot and we don't want to plant it in our garden. So the pot that we have is pretty small and we still have leftovers. So I said to them this morning, you know, what do you think you can do with the rest of this? Because we're going to plant some tonight. What can we do with it? And that was a parting question I kind of left them with as we walked to school this morning. And I'm hoping that they suggest that we send it to their grandmothers for Mother's Day. I think that would be a really nice activity because they made it and it's flat and it can go in an envelope and go in the mail. And I think that that would be a really sweet Mother's Day gift for a grandparent to receive, because they can just bury it in a pot and think about their grandchildren and that they made this seeded mush. And these great flowers have come of it. But we'll see. It's actually a really easy process to make seeded paper. It's actually quite easy to make seeded paper, and I've actually done the pictures all the way through of what we have done for our Earth Day family project. I'll leave a link in the show notes so that you can go and follow the pictures and see what we did, and you can tell us what you have done. I'll be right back after this short break.
Healthy, fresh Art Mart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. One serving of Van Gogurt contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more.
Well, I hope that you have been inspired to do some earth projects of your own. Well, I have some other earth projects I wanted to share with you today. It's never too late to do earth projects. And okay, today is Earth Day, and so a lot of people will be doing nature activities and earth-related activities. But all of these activities are brilliant to do any time of the year, whenever you want to. Don't be put off and think, oh, I can't do the seeded paper because it's, you know, Earth Day is finished and I have too many other things to do. I can't do this type of project or the, no. Just, if you want to do it, do it. Kids love projects. And here are some other projects that I found today. You remember Ali of notimeforflashcards.com? She has some nature activities that she has on her blog. Earth Day muffins. Oh my goodness, those muffins look so cute. And she has a letter of the week called Earth Day. And you can find her Earth Day projects at www.notimeforflashcards.com. That's all one word. And if you go to the search box, you can find all of those activities that I've just listed. Second blog I want to share with you today is Amber of Because Babies Grow Up. We had her on the show earlier. She has some Earth Day ideas, and she split them up into groups. So activities for newborns to babies, toddler activities, preschool activities, five-year-old activities, and activities for all ages. She also mentions a movie by Disney called Oceans, and I've not heard of it. Is anybody else going to go see it? Anybody else can tell us anything about it? Well, you can find Amber at www.becausebabiesgrowup.com. That's all one word. Cara over at simplekids.net talks about connecting with nature in an hour a day, the Green Hour giveaway. And that's one of the first giveaways I wanted to talk about today, because it's a book called The Green Hour, A Daily Dose of Nature for Happier, Healthier, Smarter Kids by Todd Christopher, the creator of the National Wildlife Federation's greenhour.org. And that book looks fabulous. And so she has a giveaway over there, and she talks about the book. Moving on to Teach Mama, you can find her at teachmama.blogspot.com. And she talks about celebrating Earth Day, sneaking in some learning, because it's perfect time to do some outdoor activities with our kids. So she has quite a few different maths skills that you can practice, that you could sneak in, and some spelling and alphabet practice, and some phonological awareness practice. Spoken like a true teacher there, splitting them up into different areas. But they're all fun and easy things to do that won't tax the children, and it's just fun. I mean, for example, one of her phonological awareness ideas is saying as many rhyming words as he or she can for each bunch of flowers. Someone calls out a word and we all add a word until we can't think of any more. Then we move the hose. Isn't that clever? So you can find her at teachmama.blogspot.com. Imagine Childhood. Have you ever been over to Imagine Childhood? You can find that at blog.imaginechildhood.com, and they have a giveaway today too. They have a clean canteen 18-ounce leak-proof can, one organic cotton messenger bag, a classic sighting compass, and a book called Let's Go Outside by Jennifer Ward. And they're also offering some money off if you want to buy things in their shop too. So they've got actual things that you can buy to have fun outdoors. And what better place to do it than on Earth Day, when you can have a giveaway and give away a whole load of things. I think you'll like Imagine Childhood. I have them on my sidebar as well, because there are so many amazing things that they have. They have barn stories, they have book reviews, crafts and activities, nature examples, nature walks, recipes, storytelling. They're truly a sight that you shouldn't miss going to see. And lastly today, I wanted to show you a site called abcand123learning.blogspot.com. If you've never been there, you really should. It's a learning cooperative where there's people can submit activities. It's like a giant Linky. They can submit activities on one particular topic, and then you can go there and find in one place a whole load of activities. So if you're stuck on a project, or you want to do a particular project that you know, well, my kids have never done anything on, I don't know, a musical project, and I really want to do a musical project, and you can't think of something to do, then you can come here and find something. So each day they give out a whole list of new things. So today is all about Earth Day, and they have some really nifty things. Like, they have on there today a fun jewelry project using recycled soda cans. I won't spoil what that looks like, but it's amazing. And they have some seed projects and other recycling projects that you can make from all different types of people. So you can go over there and have a great list of some recycling projects that you can do right now. If you're interested and you're an educator or a mum that likes to craft, and you're looking for great ideas, they are looking for ideas and projects about telling the time, learning to measure certain letters. They're also looking for spring activities, baby animals, teacher's gift, and Mother's Day. So if you have any crafts and activities that you know have worked for you and you want to share it with a whole bunch of people who really just want to try crafts and activities, then don't forget abcand123learning.blogspot.com. So now you have a bucket load of projects that you can be doing, some for today that you might start, and some that you want to prepare for the future to start. What I love about all of these projects that I have suggested so far is that these are everyday activities that you can do right now. You don't need very many tools and things that you need to go to the shops and buy. You can just use the everyday things that you already have at home. And that's just a bonus, because we have so many things, so many toys. We have so many things. And so it's just great to think, okay, I don't have to go buy this specialized pen or this specialized paper to go and do this particular activity. Well, there's been a lot of news this week in the Play Activities Network that I wanted to share with you. The first thing I wanted to share was that last week I launched the second ebook. Yay! It's called The Best of the Baby and Toddler Years. Lots of people have been asking me about what they can do with their babies and toddlers recently, from birth to 24 months. And it's one of the hardest times, I think, because you are learning so many different things. You're a new mum, or a mum with now with two or three children under your belt, and each child is different, so there's just unique challenges at that particular time. Sometimes you just want a place that you can go to and say, can I have this activity, and what can I do right now that works? Now, all the activities at Play Activities are open-ended enough that you can just try them and see where they go. They're process activities more than product activities, for the most part, especially when it comes to the baby and the toddler years, because you just don't know what they're going to do. They want to experiment, and curiosity is the biggest thing that you want them to be doing. You want them to be curious, you want them to be trying. And so what I've done is I've compiled all of the last 3 years, the last 3 years of activities that are specific for the baby and the toddler years. That's the newbie players, as I call them, the ones from birth to 24 months. I've all of the articles and all of the activities that you would find on the blog, instead of you having to search for all of them, I have them there in one place. Not only that, I've also got an exclusive video of an activity that's never been seen before, and three play activities also that I've not shared with anybody else before. I've put clickable I've put clickable links in the ebook so that you can go to the original posts and add your comments if you want to as well, and see what other comments that people have made, because lots of people make really excellent suggestions as well. This is a really good, ideal baby shower gift, because if you start from the beginning and see how easy the play activities that you can get involved with, then play will be just part of everything that you do. It's also good for a discussion group. So if you have a group of ladies that get together, I have lots of discussion articles because I talk about all different things. Like this week, I talked about, do you check milestones? So that's it. I don't want to think, I'm not doing it to see that they are way ahead, and I just like to see what to expect and where they are and how they're doing. I just like to watch out and see what's going on. And so you can use one of those articles like that within your group to talk about, you know, is it, would you do this? Is it the right thing to do? What you think? It's a great activity to do in a play group, a toddler play group. While the kids are playing, you guys get to talk about play and play activities. It's one of those minefields, though, when you start talking about play, that people sometimes feel that they have to one-up each other. And I think that's because we don't talk about it that often. So when we do talk about it, it can be really difficult. But if you actually had a discussion group, or you set time aside and say, like, when you're talking to a group of mums and say, yeah, let's talk about what we do at home with play, because I'm having a really hard time doing this, I think you'd be surprised at what great conversation you can have about play activities. So this new ebook is called The Best of the Baby and Toddler Years: Play Activities for the Newbie Players, Birth to 24 Months. I just want to be clear that this is not a curriculum. It's not a babies must do this and toddlers must do this and then they graduate and that they will be perfect babies, brainy and creative and all of those things. No. It's just a collection of fun play activities in the style that we do them, which is open-ended, fun, using everyday materials that you can find from around your house without having to go and buy and do different things. This means that when you're at your neighbor's house, when you've gone over to family, when you're somewhere without all of your things, you can still have fun play time with your children without carting around a toy box. It means that you can stand in the line at the bank, in the supermarket, be at the doctor's office, and have ideas in mind that you can do with your child right now. You've prepared things, you have things in your bag, you have activities in your mind already. You're not worrying about, how do I keep this child occupied? You can play with them and have fun with them. I have that new book, and you can find that on the blog at play-activities.com/blog, new play activities ebook. I'll leave a note in the show notes for that.
This is Tara from booksbytara.com, and you are listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Along the same lines as toddlers and babies, I wanted to talk about how I've become a contributing writer in two places: Steady Mum and Blissfully Domestic. They're two places that I will be writing articles for once a month about babies and toddlers and the play activities in the same style that I do here on the blog. I'll also be writing on the blog and still be podcasting, but it's just another place that you can see some more play activities. So I just wanted to let you know that I'll be doing that too. I'm really excited to be working with such talented group of ladies. That Blissfully Domestic is a multi-channel blog where you can find all sorts of activities. If you've never been, you really should go there. It's blissfullydomestic.com. They have green living, they have books, they have fashion, they have entertainment, they have school, they have kids crafts, they have art. If you go to Steady Mum, I've talked about Jamie before, and I've on the blog, and she's all about professional and intentional motherhood, which I just completely resonates with me. I really love the way that she is trying to raise her children. And so I'm writing over there some how we can be professional and intentional about motherhood with babies and toddlers. I hope you can check them out. Jamie's link is steadymum.com. I wanted to talk about some of the upcoming guests that we have on Raising Playful Tots, because we have some really fun shows coming up. We have Sue Atkins of Positive Parents, we have Amy of Let's Explore, and we have Josh Golin of the CCFC, that's the Commercial Free Childhood, Dr. Petra Kern. We also have Just Ask Baby, talks about too many toys, and Yanni Nicole. She talks about Waldorf and Steiner play. That might be a really interesting. And we also have Yanni Nicole, who talks about Steiner and Waldorf play. If you'd like to appear on the show, shoot me an email at melitza@raisingplayfultots.com and give me a suggestion, and we'll see if we can get you on the show, because we're all about talking about mums making the most of playtime. You can be a mum, you can be a blogger, you can be an educator, you can be all three. We don't mind. We're just all about sharing everyday play activities that will engage and make our children excited. Something that's making me feel excited right now is that we have an iTunes review. Yay! From Jerry Lynn of The Because Show. Subscribe to a podcast. There is a bottom part that shows you other podcasts that are like this or what other people have done as well. So you can see similar podcasts in the same genre. If you're into play activities, for example, you'll see that there are quite a few other play activity type podcasts, or maybe you're into parenting podcasts, or you want complete escapism and you want some entertainment podcasts. So there are lots of different podcasts that you can choose from, but iTunes review really helps us. So I'm so excited that I have my first iTunes review. And the last thing I wanted to talk about today was the Blog Frog community. You remember I talked earlier about all of these other great bloggers like Ali of NoTimeForFlashcards.com, Amber of Because Babies Grow Up, Cara of SimpleKids.net, Teach Mama, and Imagine Childhood, ABC, and 123, etc. Well, a lot of these great blogs have communities that are attached to them where we can talk further and discuss and ask questions and just kind of talk to each other and learn, because that's what we want to do, is we want to learn from each other. This is why I'm podcasting. This is why I'm blogging, is that I want to share what I do, but I also want to learn from what you do, because it's fun. And so Blog Frog Community is a community where you can be connected to so many different places. It's similar to Facebook, I guess, in a way, although I'm not on Facebook, so maybe I'm totally wrong on that. But it's a place that you can extend the conversation. Blog posts change daily, weekly, but you can continue that conversation in one place and talk more about it, and people can come back in and add their ideas. And I've joined quite a few different communities in the Blog Frog community, and I would really encourage you to do so too. This is your community, and so if you've got something that you want to say about play activities and everyday activities, then Blog Frog Community is the place for you. It's time to close the show. You've been listening to show number 22 for the week of the 18th of April 2010. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Raising Playful Tots podcast. For new show ideas or comments, leave a voicemail at 214-615-6506, extension 3998, or send an email to melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. You can follow Melitza on Twitter @PlayActivities, where she tweets about play. Visit the show notes for links to what we have talked about in today's show, or leave a comment at www.raisingplayfultots.com. While you are there, you can sign up for our newsletter so you'll never miss any updates about the show. If you enjoyed today's show, please tell your friends, and please consider writing a review on iTunes to help spread the word.